We are. It's pressing to the point where we really do need a team of people because it's like doing. I feel like a circus act on like a unicycle juggling while doing a podcast. You know.
But then
no one finds that impressive. It's not like part of the act. No one's like, oh my god.
It's the ability to see the act. Really. It's just standing outside from the curtain is what you're doing.
Because the circus act is like, it's so impressive. He's doing all those things at once. But here, no one thinks like that. They just want the stuff.
Well, most of the time. Anyway, who cares?
But you missed an unbelievable conversation about elephants in Botswana. It was a really good section.
It always is. Whenever we lose it, it's always kind of the best stuff.
The lost files.
Well, no, because the reason the best stuff gets lost is because we're in a flow, so neither of us are looking.
Yeah.
And then we kind of come to, and then like everything's off.
Yeah, everything's gone.
But who cares?
That's just 13 minutes of the best podcasting that no one will ever see.
We'll put it on Patreon.
Yeah, we'll put it on Patreon.
If you want to hear about Botswana and elephants.
But only with one mic. So if you want to hear about Botswana and elephants with Andrew Emplied and me sort of sounding like I'm really far away.
That's probably what most people want.
It probably is. Yeah, they probably want to sound like I'm I'm like down the road shouting. What was that?
Oh dear.
But Easter, it was the Lord's Day. It was the Lord's weekend. Did you feel imbued with the Holy Spirit of the Lord?
Hey, you know me. The Lord has always shined a light upon me.
He has.
So therefore, Easter doesn't mean fucking wank to me because I've got every fucking day that Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, is going. Like he looks at me, he shines upon me when the Lord shines upon you every day. Who gives a shit about when on Easter?
So he's saying because the Lord shines upon you so regularly and so thusly. Are you saying that Easter doesn't mean wank to you because it's just like every other day?
Too fucking right. That's what
it's a bit of a busman's holiday Easter for you.
Yeah, if you want to use busman's holiday every episode of this podcast, sure. Then it is. It's more like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What's the better idiom of like if you play tennis every day, you don't love tennis that much.
Yeah.
It's not an idiom, but it's one I've just come up with.
It's a proverb.
If you play tennis every day, you're not going to love tennis that much every day, are you?
And it shall be done.
And it shall be said and so.
Oh, man.
Write that into stone.
Christ is horny. Christ is hard. Christ will come again. Ring, ring, ring.
Easter, it was my sister's 30th birthday, so that kind of superseded.
She has the same birthday as Jesus. No, that's Christmas. Ignore me. Carry on.
But even that's not true, is
thusly,
it?
Thusly.
And it shall be done and said to all. No, what's Easter?
It's a tourist trap.
What's Easter? The right show? Come on.
It's when they looked and said, where's the fucking Christ? Where the fuck's he gone? Where's this fucking dude?
He was risen.
Let's go bloody look at Christ's body. What the fuck? That was it.
Yeah. They opened the tomb and they were like, shouldn't he be there?
Yeah.
Why did they open the tomb?
Why were they checking on Christ? You got to know this. Was it more to like repurpose his body?
Was it more to repurpose the tomb? I was like, he's only been there for a few months. He was like, we got more bodies here. Check him in.
It was implied that it was a very heavy rock guarding the entrance.
So, otherwise, if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's how much he was risen. That's like a side miracle.
Yeah.
Like a dollop of peas on an already bountiful steak and chips meal. Because it's like, even if he was to have risen and he was alive, then how's that fucker getting out of that tomb with that big old rock?
It's a David Blaine, what's his name? Who's the one who's sticking shit in his arms all the time? Who's the big one?
David Blaine.
Is that David Blaine?
David Blaine.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not. Well, there's Dynamo and David Blaine.
Jesus is Dynamo.
You're thinking of Dynamo?
No, I'm not, but I like that. But he's
David Blaine. He's Jesus the one who's like Dynamo. Coughing up cards.
My name's Jesus Christ. I'm risen.
You're the worst prophet.
I'd love to see like Christ do miracles, but with like loads of like black Americans losing their minds. Like, oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh shit! He is the Lord!
Yeah.
5,000 fish and bread, you know.
He's risen. I didn't.
Did you feel imbued by religiosity?
No, I didn't.
Do you ever miss any of the religious services we used to have at school?
Easter.
No.
Easter isn't. What's the difference between Easter and the Harvest Festival?
What? Harvest Festival. Who's celebrating that?
We did that at school.
Yeah, we did that at school.
No, you bring in canned goods for the local community because Deborah's not got any beans left.
I don't think that the Harvest Festival has long I don't think it's going to have a lot of staying power from here.
No,
on
it does.
It feels.
Do you think the Harvest Festival actually? Yeah.
I don't know if the kids are celebrating.
I'm now immediately going back at what I thought.
I don't think the kids are celebrating the Harvest Festival. I don't think they've made it popularized for the youth.
When you say the kids, they're not celebrating it in bars down in the city centre, but they are. There's like hay stuff that happens. You know hay stuff.
Yeah,
you're familiar with
but
hay things.
Easter, they rebranded. They got bunnies. They got chocolate.
Yeah.
The big two.
Bunnies
and the Harvest Festival, I don't see them doing
eggs.
Making anything. That sort of brings people in.
Well, the Harvest Festival is more about giving back to your community rather than giving back to, I don't know, your individual family.
Okay, so it's more of a community thing.
You give beans to people who don't have beans.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, you bring in non-perishable goods.
Oh, and then
goods.
We give them to people who are beanless.
Who are beanless. the bean laden
give to the beanless.
Yeah, it's like
and as it
up,
shall be done.
You know,
later
it's actually
beans.
One of the it's actually one of the better holidays. Yeah. It's actually one of the ones that actually does some sort of community action.
It's not
rather
virtue
than
signal.
Just spaffing all your shit on chocolate and then giving it to your fucking spoiled children.
What about the people who don't have any beans?
What about the beanless? Michael down the road, he's not got any beans left, and you're out here buying eggs made of chocolate. What about Michael? He's got no beans.
Christ believed a lot in the beanless. He was obsessed with the beanless.
Yeah, he was. Because actually, bean is a synonym for money as well.
Yeah, it's true. Bean counter. Yeah, that's
beans.
Your dad's a bean counter.
My dad is not a fucking bean counter.
He is.
Why is he a bean counter?
Isn't that an accountant?
Dad's not an accountant.
Is he not?
No.
Do you know what your dad does?
Yeah.
What does he do?
You sound like you're someone that doesn't know what my dad does. I'm saying he doesn't do that, and you're going, but do you know? As if you know and I don't.
Well, do you know what he does?
Yeah, he's a tax advisor.
Sounds like a fucking bean counter.
Look, I never said he wasn't a bean counter, but he's not an accountant.
You screamed at me, my dad's not a bean counter.
That's fair. It's an unfortunate time for you guys to just rewind briefly.
I never said
your
dad's not a bean counter. My dad's not!
I think I then asked what a bean counter
is. Yeah.
Because I know, I can see that he's a bean counter. He's not an accountant.
Is he sort of an accountant instead? He helps businesses avoid tax.
That's basically what he does.
He's like
a tax expert. A tax expert.
Okay. Well, he helped me with my taxes, but that's not what an accountant... What does an accountant do?
Whoa. Why are you raising your voice to me, pal?
Sorry. Let's call it... I don't want to talk about accountants.
Let's call the whole thing.
Let's bring it back in. Okay,
accountants are just managing money. Yeah. I think it's as simple as that.
We're talking about the Harvest Festival. We're talking about the bean laden and the beanless.
Yeah.
How was your Easter? How was your week?
We didn't do anything on Easter. My sister's 30th birthday, so we had a thing for her on the night, and then we didn't do anything for Easter. I travelled back to London for Easter. That's what I did. What did you do?
Had lamb with
the
family.
That seems to be an Easter tradition, lamb.
I have lamb every Easter.
What are your thoughts on lamb?
Lamb, my mum has a magic way with lamb. I've always said this, but if it was in the rankings of meat, it probably wouldn't be in the top three.
Thoughts on people that say their favourite meat is lamb?
Suspicious.
Yeah, precisely.
It's a very rich meat. It's a luxury meat. You know, it's a special occasion meat. It's really. It's not an everyday meat.
No, it's not.
You can't have lamb every day.
It should. I agree.
But I do like the flavour, but it's a bit like Whoa Daddy.
Me too.
Like chicken, he's there for you every single day.
True. And it could be and it could be dressed up to be something different as well.
Chicken is just, it's got your back.
It's versatile.
It's versatile.
You marry chicken, you have an affair with lamb.
Yeah. James Milner's chicken, you can put him in multiple positions. And then lamb is sort of
a beast like your dad. Pork is your cousin, very clearly.
Yeah, let's keep stretching it.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with that. Bacon is your nephew.
Okay, yeah.
Ground beef is your grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good.
I think that's it. That's the whole family, really.
I like Easter a lot because I feel it doesn't have the pressure of Christmas, and then you kind of get... I like the Easters we have because we seem to do all the things without any of the pressure of Christmas. It's kind of a smaller group. You know, you go out, you see, but you don't go for an Easter walk where you you marvel at nature rebirthing. You see the, you know, it's lambing season, so the lambs are out in force.
Well, that's why.
You see daffodils and stuff. And then you have a feeling of rebirth and being reborn. Do you not have that sort of...
No, I don't. I don't. I think I keep trying to say that I didn't celebrate Easter. I travelled back to London.
Do you have a bit of chockey?
Yeah, I had a bit of chocolate.
Yeah, of course you did. So you did celebrate Easter.
I had a
Easter.
Bit of chocolate.
You did celebrate Easter.
No, Jenny, Catherine, my stepmom, gave us both an Easter egg each as we left the house. That was our Easter celebration.
And how?
And guess what it was?
What?
It was chocolate orange. There is something.
That's bold.
There's something in my family that make like there's wrong with them.
Yeah.
They've got something.
I've said this for years.
Fucked up in their minds that makes them just like one step away from a rabies infested rabbit.
They seem like they're lobotomized when you speak to them.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of slack jaw dribbling.
It feels like someone's sucked their brain out through a straw.
So they have. Yeah, exactly. So my blood relatives have this thing.
Yeah.
Where they just and Melissa's favorite thing is lamb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Red flag.
Suspicious.
Yeah.
And then now, and then dad, but both of them have almost bonded. One of their main interests.
They're Siamese twins.
Together. Well, dad and my sister.
It's weird.
Really hard to do. We can't even, it's too ridiculous to even go into. One of their big things, it's like, they talk about it as if it's a hobby.
What, liking lamb?
Liking chocolate orange.
Oh, I see.
It's like, bit of chocolate orange. Melissa's birthday cake was chocolate orange.
Okay.
Catherine comes in with an Easter egg, and I go, oh, I'll have the twirl one if that's all right. I turn the box around, it's chocolate orange. Well, chocolate orange is fucking whack. It's fine. I'll have the twirl, but I'm not. Why? I would prefer my chocolate without orange. I prefer my chocolate without nuts. I know that's different, but it's the same.
And not to psychoanalyze your family, which I hate to do, but do you not think that maybe...
Hate. You love to do this. This is what
you
get.
Do you not think
on.
That maybe your dad, your father, Bill, Billiam Kerwin, and your sister, right? Do you not think that maybe them constantly talking about chocolate orange is not about their love of chocolate orange? Maybe it's about... It's not, that's just by the by. It's actually about celebrating their love for each other in a relationship. Maybe, maybe Billiam Kerwin, when he gives you a chocolate orange, maybe that's extending a hand. And you.
What if I don't like it, do I?
Well, maybe you should pretend to like it. Maybe this is him offering out something.
So you think Melissa
hates. They're dancing in the kitchen saying, we love
chocolate. Terry's chocolate orange. It looks like an orange in itself, but it's chocolate, but it tastes like orange.
It's nothing about the chocolate orange.
Yeah, well, they can.
It's about bonding. It's about community.
Okay.
It's about love.
Well, then why
it's about Christ.
It's about Easter, is it?
Oh, man.
Fucking hell. So what? Right. So I should go in and join in. I should paint. I should go in and paint. Oh,
chocolate,
it's the best thing ever. I like lamb too. What's wrong with?
Yeah, Melissa doesn't like any of that shit.
Yeah,
she's just doing it to make Billiam happy.
Do you reckon? Yeah, it's just dad's thing. Yeah. Okay.
So you had chocolate on the tube.
I had chocolate. I didn't eat on the fucking tube. Stop putting chocolate in my mouth. And it wasn't at the specific time.
But this wasn't your only guess away. This week you also.
I've been to a cabin.
Yeah.
I went to a cabin.
So this is you're taking a month off work.
Yeah.
Right?
I get it.
For
get
mental
a,
health reasons.
For mental health. It's all gone a bit weird. No, I get it. I get a sabbatical everywhere because I've been at my job for 4 years and they give you a sabbatical.
So sabbaticals
very nice.
Comes from, isn't that, was that the first time it was used was about professors, right?
I don't know. Probably
sabbatical. The
Greek,
idea
isn't
is,
it?
Yeah, it's like a sabbatical is when a professor who's been like studying for 7 years at the uni, he gets a year to go off and write a book, right?
Potentially, yeah. Right, go on, finish off that one. Finish it off.
No, so you got a sabbatical and it's to work on.
Finish it off. Finish it off.
I'm asking.
You know I got one, and it's your fault we're not doing anything. How the cheek of you, good sir. So I got one and went to a cabin in the woods near Hastings. Is that what you wanted me to say?
That's a good use of a sabbatical.
Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah.
And now I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2 downstairs. Because I need a break. I need a break. I'm allowed a break. So I went to a cabin in the woods with my girlfriend. It wasn't just me. It was very nice. It was near Hastings. But it wasn't in Hastings. It was in a town called Robertsbridge.
Okay.
Shout out to Robertsbridge.
Yeah, I'll be.
Immediately you got there and it was, you know, when you go to places where you feel like people don't actually grow up there and how it's, because we grow up in, I mean, Lewis as well is a town where it's, It's close enough to, although it's a village, it's close enough to a city to not feel like you're a million miles away from civilization.
Okay.
This is like, the closest thing they have is a castle from 1066.
So what do you mean people don't grow up there?
It's always strange to me that like children actually grow up there.
Because it feels like a fantasy.
It feels like so desolate and it feels like you should only really go there to die.
Okay.
If I'm honest.
Yeah, I do know exactly.
So we walk out and there's like four kids joyfully playing with a tire. Just pushing that tire along the road.
It's still the 1800s.
Like, oh my God, the thing rolls. Look at it go down the hill. But it doesn't go up the hill unless we push it. They were having a great time. Immediately set, I was like, oh, I immediately felt I was in this country.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, by the way, it's near Hastings. So on the journey to Hastings, on the bus, it's, every bus was 1066. That's a bit
every bus.
Not every bus, because that would mean the whole route thing would be a disaster. Yeah. But they are, they're really clinging onto it.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Guys, get over it.
Do something else. Yeah. 1066.
Have another battle.
But, so the town, it's one of those towns as well that whenever I go to these places, I wonder if you have this as well. Yeah. I think when you're going more into, I think a lot of people have it going home, and when you're living in London, going home. There's this ridiculous notion that you think that everyone immediately knows that you're from London.
Yep.
Like you walk around and it's like, wow. They're, and you think, you don't know whether they hate or love you for it, but they are thinking about you. Everyone knows who you are and you've got a sign around you going, I'm from London or I'm different.
Yeah. Well, you feel like an elf going back to the Shire. Not back to. No, that doesn't work.
None of that made sense. Not a single bit of that made sense. A hobbit going back to the Shire?
Yeah, but then it'd have to be.
You'd have to have done.
Yeah.
Well, it could be Bilbo.
Or Frodo. Take your pick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Samwise, there's another one.
Yeah, I guess so. But he was sort of, he fit in.
Yeah.
I just rewatched the Lord of the Rings films, so I'm going to drop in some.
Do they hold up? Yeah. Yeah, fine.
God, yeah. Probably the most. More than most. I think they'll hold up the best out of all the franchises, probably.
Yeah, anyway.
Have you heard someone chatting shit about Lord of the Rings on rewatch?
I've heard murmurs.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember from who, but someone's...
Someone's
getting in my
ear. The Dark Lord.
Yeah.
His evil is spreading.
The Dark Lord. That's some Sauron. What
you're talking about is the feeling that everyone knows
from
London.
There's you've got a big London stamp on you, like you come from
it. And you think it's all in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fairness, this town felt like Hot Fuzz, but no one liked each other.
Okay.
So it felt like there was nothing to preserve.
Community gone wrong.
Yeah. Because there was a few people. Because there was like one nice pub when we went there, and then everyone obviously knows each other within there.
Yeah.
And then it is clear that you're not from here.
Yeah.
That's true.
How cunty were you dressing?
I left the cardigan at
London-y.
Home. I left the cardigan at home. I was wearing the kind of fat trousers. They weren't that fat, but they were slightly fat.
Yeah.
But it was, I dressed to be a country bumpkin for a bit.
Super dry anorak.
Super dry anorak.
Rectangle glasses.
Yeah. Stussy cap.
But no fear rucksack.
Yeah, God. We're not describing London. We're describing something horrible. But yeah, I always find that. So there was a fun engagement with the locals, I suppose. Yeah. Nothing crazy. But we were staying in someone's garden.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones, which I wouldn't immediately want to do. Do you know what I mean? You want to stay in someone's garden?
No, but how big is the garden?
That's
I guess like,
he asked the right question.
With the land ownership kind of situation we have in this country,
you wouldn't want to stay in our garden, would you?
Well, a lot of times you're like, this is nice. It's actually some lord's garden, but you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. So it wasn't that big. It wasn't like wow. When you don't realize it's a garden,
yeah, and
you just think
this
it's
actually
a field.
Lord Rothermere's garden. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, Rothermere. I thought he lost all of his bank holdings in the crisis of 1984.
No.
No, there was it was sizable, but we had privacy, fine, because there was a fence. But
how big's the garden?
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
You walk in. The problem was to get to the place where you were staying. You have to open the gate and walk down the driveway of the house that you're there from. So there was like, I saw them kind of in the window, and I was trying to be like not looking in the window.
It's just a bit personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that they had to change the urine tank halfway through.
So they had to carry your hot piss around.
Yeah, we had to. It was a little bit hippy dippy.
Yeah,
it was biological toilets, waterless toilets. One of those situations.
Yeah,
you're not wiping your bum. You are. Sorry, you're not.
I am.
You're not. You never do. That was a side note. You're not wiping your bum anyway. No, you're not. You're not flushing. You're just chucking some straw on your poop. So it smells a bit like a festival toilet in there.
Okay.
Keep that window open would be my advice. Yeah. But at the end of the day, actually, I was pleasantly surprised by everything.
Fine.
Because I went in there, I was like, this is going to be shit. It's going to smell of shit. And I'm going to have to take it out at the end. Because part of it was they said, can you get it out at the end?
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah?
It was just like, you know how you can hold your nose like that? If I'm taking out something quite stinky, yeah. You do that, and then you just go like that, and then you can't
smell. So you have
smell.
To sort of sound like a nerd whenever you take a shit?
No.
What?
No, whenever you take the bin bag out.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm just saying.
You can talk like this when you're having a shit.
Yeah.
But when you take the bin bag out, you've got to do
coffee
that.
Coffee like this.
Just blocking the odors from going into your nostrils. Yeah,
maybe that's why people who speak like this are doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because they don't like
smell. You're saying biological toilet men are all
nerds.
Well,
I'm just saying nerds, maybe they're onto something. Maybe they're like this all the time because
they're constantly taking out waterless toilet
or just everything bags. Smells like shit.
But it doesn't. So they're not onto something. So that was, it's not ideal. It's a loosely romantic getaway. It's let's go in.
You carrying a bag of shit,
and then it's
this is romantic.
Can you take our poo, please? Our wee tank's full. It's full.
Well, did you ever shout, "I'm finished"?
Why?
I'm finished!
Why would I shout that?
Because that's when they could come and take the poop bag out.
Well, there was many ways. I did think for a bit because there's... In there, it was like, if you're staying for more than 2 days, it's likely we're going to have to change the urine tank. She was like, just give us a message and we'll come and do it.
Yeah.
So there's many ways you could say that.
Yeah.
One of them being, I'm finished. Wee-wee all full. All pissed out, nowhere to go.
Wee town population full.
We've used all of our wee space.
That's good.
No
That's
more
a
voice
wee
note. Space. Yes. Hi there. No more wee space. Please sort. So it was kind of humiliating having her come down and like take away our urine.
But it feels like you're kind of having this rebirth with holidays because you hit a moment of realization when you're like, I'm not enjoying holidays.
Yeah.
And now you're reapproaching them with, what do I enjoy about holidays?
Sure.
Like you're going on that kayak holiday.
Yeah.
This one, I assume that you suggested.
This one was oddly my idea. Yeah.
And so you want something that makes you feel more active, right?
Active, we didn't do anything.
No.
Other than like taking our own shit out was... wasn't a regular activity. It was potentially the only one. It was I wanted a relaxed get away from the city kind of, but like a
but you don't want to have to get on planes or
get you fucking city. Yeah.
What language is
that?
This is you saying that to a Spanish person at
I wanted a quick getaway that wasn't gonna break the bank and that was kind of stress-free, hassle-free. Okay.
Would you do it again?
Yeah. No, yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Out in the woods, nice, tranquil vibes. A pub.
Are you a camper revibe? Do you have that?
I do have that.
You've got it in your lockers. Later, Andrew.
In the morning,
could be.
Read all day. That's kind of it.
Okay.
And then cook.
How much were you drinking hard?
No, not as hard as usual.
No.
But obviously a couple of nights, we got on the applesauce.
Yeah.
And then...
Is that ciders?
I don't know. It's whatever you want. Like appetizers, apple teenies. But no, it was tranquil. And I wanted the big thing that I wanted was to come back more relaxed than I was, which never happens.
Yeah.
You never go on a holiday and come back more relaxed.
That is the problem.
It's a fucking
You
it's
need
load
another
of shite.
Holiday straight after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it never works, because you're either traveling around doing loads of shit and then you're just your body's knackered, or you're going and you're relaxing, you're drinking a lot, and then your liver's knackered. But then I came back relaxed, and then I drank shit loads for 2 days in a row at Melissa's birthday thing. So then I've come
God
back.
God damn it.
I'm dead again. I can't see. I'm so tired. But that's why I'm doing nothing this week.
Well, maybe we should try and get a holiday that works. Maybe you could, if we could find a way of you relaxing, maybe in like Mile End Park for a week. Because that's a very...
That's right there.
Yeah, and that's a very short journey.
Well, I have to, you're just asking me to be homeless.
You'd come back nice and refreshed.
Yeah, you know? I don't think I would. I'm still going to enjoy the content of the holiday, which is not me going to be in Mile End Park.
Okay, I mean, I'm just trying to come up with some ideas.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just the gap from there to there was the problem. But then I did have... But then in this town, I came back... Wait, when I came back from the town, I went for my sister's birthday, I was stood outside. We were out the house for a little bit at this dive bar, which is where my family often frequents, my extended family, not my close family. And it's like, you know, it's proper Hayward's Heath. It's where I'm from, which is Hayward's Heath.
Yeah.
And I went outside for a cigarette and I looked around and it was the first time, you know, when you've lived somewhere forever that you forget what it looks like. You don't, or you've never really seen it.
Yeah.
And I looked around, I was like, this is the worst place on earth. I was like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It's so ugly. Like, the actual town bit is, none of the buildings are clean. All of them are like off-white. I don't know what level of architecture they are. But it's just this mismatch of like weird offices, strange flats, odd businesses. There's so many pet-related businesses. Every cafe lets your dog come in.
Yeah.
But then it's just this like weird shit town. It just looks awful.
I mean, you're completely right. I mean, I didn't grow up there, I spotted that immediately, but I guess this was like a moment of you.
Yeah, I just remember looking around going like, fuck me.
Has it always looked this?
This is all, but you're so used to everything.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to play
But I, well, there was the last time, I went there. No, I went back in to tell Elle this realisation. And she was like, yeah, I know. Because to be fair to her, because like she didn't even grow up in Sussex. So she came in, I was like, the first time I was like, this is it. I was born here. And it's like this, you know, puddle, this kind of bin puddle. This is where I did it. This is where I did this. It's more about the stories where I wasn't thinking about the framing of the stories being in this kind of shithole. But she was like, yeah, no, you're white trash. Have you not realised that? And I was like, no, I didn't realise.
You didn't realise that,
I was white trash. But I was like, oh, okay. Because then looked around and I've always known, you know, the people in Hayward's Heath. It's up and down. It's also quite a middle class place. Yeah. So it's in between the two. But then I was like,
it's middle England.
Yeah. But then I was in this pub and like looking around and then I was like, this is where the white trash is. And I was like, this is my family.
Yeah.
This is where half of the family comes
and
from.
And you've
the
got
Irish
a white trash, you know, it's in you. You're not white trash, but you.
Oh God,
it's soulfully in you. You know.
Yeah,
you're never more comfortable than a Hollywood bowl. Like that is.
Well, that's unfair. That's unfair.
Below the belt.
That was below the belt. That's because I'm good at bowling. I am comfortable in a Hollywood bowl. Yes, That's fair. More like I'm very comfortable in like an industrial park that includes a Hollywood bowl, a Cineworld, a Frankie and Benny's, a Pizza Hut. That's kind
you're
of the
playing
main
at
ones.
Home. You know,
yeah. There's often like a little putt-putt mini golf course. Yeah. Sometimes inexplicably, there's trampolines.
Yeah.
Remember those trampolines?
Yeah.
That's I feel fine in because those were my birthday parties growing up. Like, but why wouldn't you want to go and see Finding Nemo and then do the Pizza Hut buffet? I still want to do that now.
Well, we used to have a big argument about Hassex when we were like 12, maybe 13, which in retrospect was, my mum got really angry with me for doing it. You know, she was trying to wrestle the snobbery out of me. But
yeah.
I thought it was funny while we were going, and you really didn't like this. I think for some reason, I think Tom Doughty was in the car for one of them. For some reason, we're getting dropped off. Picked up to Sunday, and we're going through Hassex, and I think you kept talking about how great Hassex was, right?
Hassex
and,
is a bit better than Hayward's Heath, but
I think it was Hassex, it wasn't Hayward's Heath, but I was looking out the window just talking about how shit it was, all right? And I was playing up to Tom, but I was just going so hard in and everything, saying all these things, and I was 13 years old, and Mum had a real go at me, saying you can't.
Because you can't, yeah. Because you can't do that.
You were literally, Mum. So what do you think about Hassex then?
Hassex.
No, oh, you haven't had this realization about Hassex.
No, because
you're 5 years time.
Hassex is a small enough village to have some quaint charm to it. Hayward's Heath is like right in the middle. It's like the biggest town in between Brighton and London.
Yeah.
If you go one way, I don't want someone from fucking, I don't know.
You just don't enough to even.
I don't know enough about geography at all. It could have been great. It could have been quick, and we could have moved on. But no.
Well, Crawley.
Crawley. Sure. Yeah. Other than Crawley, it's very close to Crawley, isn't it? But yeah, Crawley's shit as well, isn't it? But that's like traditionally known to be shit.
So Sean McLaughlin had the joke about Hayward's Heath. Do you remember this joke?
No.
You probably haven't seen it, but it was because he's from Brighton, and he said that Hayward's Heath is like a train station.
Yeah.
And then a replacement bus service didn't turn up and they just built a town. That's how it feels with David Teeth. Yeah. It feels like they were waiting.
No, it does.
It was just a train station and the bus didn't turn up and they just built a town.
It does. It does. But yeah. So I think it's... Hasex is different because it's smaller.
Yeah.
It's got more vibrancy to it because it's smaller. It's more like a quaint... You're closer to the, you know, when we are all farming for cattle.
Yeah.
And, you know, like troweling for things. And you'd have...
It's closer to trowel era.
Yeah. You'd have the butcher. Mm. You'd have the blacksmith. You'd have the barber. You'd have
the cobbler.
Yeah. That's the cobbler. That's kind of what you have in Hasex, which is why I like it. And there's actually just more greenery around.
Yes, it is. It's a very smaller, green area. Yeah.
It's smaller. The problem I really realize is with the buildings. They're quite big. And now, it's quite a big town.
As much as I find this topic incredibly fascinating, I'm just wondering, we do have quite a few international listeners, and we push the envelope quite a bit. We're talking about specific British stuff, British celebrities. But I feel deeply describing two small villages.
I had that realised when you asked me about... No, because with Hey With Teeth about realising...
Our German listeners are going to be like, what?
What is that?
What is this?
The Highwood Town? No, it's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Because with Hey With Teeth being, you know, the town where you were born and realising that it's a shithole, a lot of people can find something in that. Yeah. When we're just going like, what's better, Hey With Teeth or Hasex? We need to jump.
I've started watching what's it even called, the thing about Dan Schneider. I've forgotten the name every single time. Dan Schneider documentary. It's called Quiet on Set. All right, so I've streamed this, so it's only in America, right? So I've streamed it. I don't know if it'll come to the UK, but it's on HBO Max.
I'm not gagging for it.
No, and it's a four-part documentary series, and immediately you can understand. I mean, they all follow the same rhythm, these documentaries, right?
Yeah, it's just milking. But, is it on HBO?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a four-part... And the problem is...
But explain what it is.
Basically, it's one of those kind of uncoverings of abuse by a man in the industry. But that man is Dan Schneider.
But right? When Horatio told me before we started that it was a four-part series, I was incensed, because I just think that can be distilled into almost like a press release.
Yeah.
Or a news article.
It could be, yeah.
Saying,
they all can.
This is what he did.
But all of these sort of like kind of awful things about abuse in industry, they all just follow... They need someone to shake up that genre. They need to find a different way of telling the story.
The investigative pedo.
It's just
genre.
So... Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's all by the numbers, and it's just... They build tension the exact same way. We're on the first episode, right? So it's about Nickelodeon.
Oh, you're doing it with your girlfriend, yeah?
Yes.
It's definitely a me.
It's a girlfriend.
It's a his and her watch.
It is, you know. Well, she was a child actor, so I guess she... And she read the book by Jeanette McCurdy from...
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called I Hate My Mother.
iCarly. It's along the lines of that.
No, that's what her book's called.
Yeah, it's along the lines of that.
And she's obsessed with her and that whole side of it. So it seems like a lot of shit went wrong. I mean, it is quite a... It destroys a lot of innocence, because I really was a Nickelodeon kid above all other channels.
What was it? Was you a Nickelodeon or a Disney kid?
Disney had a couple of things, but Nickelodeon was like, you know, Drake and Josh, SpongeBob SquarePants. Those
SpongeBob.
Drake and Josh.
SquarePants.
And that Drake and Josh was a Dan Schneider original. We haven't got to that yet.
Avatar was Nickelodeon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He didn't diddle Aang, did he?
He didn't diddle Aang. If Aang started having a talking head about being diddled by... But we're at the point, I haven't heard, there's been no stuff about rape allegations yet. On the first episode, he's just been...
So tell me what's up.
So he's been...
I'm sure many people have heard of this, but it was mostly because of Drake Bell.
Yeah.
So Drake Bell, I know something...
I mean, we haven't got to the Drake Bell bit either, right, so we're not even on there. We're on all these people who I don't really know. Do you know Keenan and Kel?
Yes.
I didn't know Keenan and Kel.
You know Keenan Thompson?
Yeah, I know that he's on the guy who's never on SNL. I didn't know that he was a kid, child star. So that guy's been on set forever.
That's fair to not know that.
Yeah.
But there you go.
But
Keenan and Kel,
know,
I remember.
I didn't know that he was
like Amanda Bynes,
a child set. Well, Amanda Bynes, that was what this episode's been mainly about. But all of the things so far have been, he was like a nasty boss who was sexist, right? So, and I'm still like... And they've teased us with he does bad shit coming up.
Yeah.
And that a lot of the stuff he directed was quite porny for like the kid shows. So it'd be like a lot of
inappropriate.
Yeah, well, and all like the gunking
porny.
And stuff. Yeah, like all it's...
Was it porny?
Well, the problem is that they show images of it. Mm. And it's like, when you play that music and you play them in a montage of like... It's like a lot, basically a lot of it's like cum shot style.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Well, like the Nickelodeon slime.
Well, there's the slime, but there's also just...
The one where Katy Perry gets absolutely decked. It's really funny.
But so there's a slime, but there's also just in episodes, there'll be a lot of those shots. And I guess... But then I don't know how much I'm getting manipulated while watching these things. I don't know what the context was.
I might be wrong, but that would have made me laugh as a kid. Having no idea what a cum shot was.
Yeah.
You're like, ha, he got on his face. Isn't that just a kid's laugh?
Yeah, and so, but then they do that haunting music and then they show like all of them back to back. And it's like, yeah, I guess it does look like that if you show like a montage of...
I don't know, but I think as a child, that's what I would find funny.
Yeah.
Having no idea that that's a reference to porn. I'm not sure that's...
And so they went to Dan Schneider saying,
and also, how intimately is he involved in the scripts?
He's the head
writer.
He's the showrunner. He's the, author.
Why would he do it?
Do what? The gunking?
Yeah. So he could sit.
Well, we don't know yet. They've left so much open. They've just said, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Well, we'll come back to that.
I'm not sure that is at this point.
But they set up his life with being like, he was a fat, insecure loser who wanted to prove everyone wrong. All right. So they really slagged him off, begin with.
Yeah.
And then it was basically about he's really close with all the young female stars like Amanda Bynes and then all the female writers in his rooms.
But they're all his...
He was basically like a mad king who'd run run the show. Like if anyone disagreed with him, he'd try and fire them and was like, just couldn't take any criticism and stuff like that. I was like, okay.
Right.
And that was the end of the episode, pretty much. So I'm sure in the other episodes.
One ep, right.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I need a bit more.
Yeah, that's a shame because we don't know anything then.
No, we don't know. So that's...
He's definitely, he's done
something.
You can't
have four parts unless he's diddling.
Yeah, well, no, he did with Drake Bell, wasn't
did
that?
Did he diddle Bell?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh. Well, we'll see. Part of me's like, he better have diddled Drake Bell.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I've just wasted all my time.
Yeah. And it would be so much better. So much worse, for you to have wasted 4 hours than for Drake Bell to have been raped as a child.
Yeah, I get. It's an interesting way of looking at these sort of shows. But if you have a four-part documentary that's setting up that's about diddling.
Yeah.
And there's no diddling. I guess I have been shortchanged, and I guess weirdly I do hope there's some diddling on a consumer basis.
Retrospective diddling.
Yeah, in retrospective,
if you would never wish for it to have happened.
No.
But if a kid's been diddled, been sold, then you wish it to be there.
Yeah. It's like the argument of the iPhone's already been made by the
Chinese.
The Chinese worker, so.
Yeah.
What harm is it?
Right. Is it?
The child's been diddled. Yeah. Let me watch the documentary.
No. No. The child, it's not as bad as the Chinese.
If a child gets diddled,
it's not
in
as
a
bad
forest
as child
and no
labor.
One's there to watch the documentary.
Tree. Has anyone been? It's not as bad as. No, because the diddling is over, thank God.
Yeah.
So by watching a documentary on it, you can no longer support future diddling.
That's true.
Buying an iPhone, you can still support future child labor.
And I feel if you make a documentary that's sold on diddling and there's no diddling in there, I think that helps diddlers.
Why?
Because it's more like, oh, you're going to make a documentary about me. What, like that one where there was no diddling in there?
Easy.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then...
Do you know what I mean? That's playing into the diddler's hands. Because it's the boy who cried diddling.
Right.
Yeah.
What? I still don't see how it plays into their hands.
Well, it's just more like it's oh, every documentary is now just taking the piss, and that
documentarians aren't going to... So you're suggesting that people will be encouraged to diddle because
if a documentary
came out about them, they're not going to actually engage with the diddling content.
Well, it's more as consumers, much like the boy who cried wolf, it'll be like, well, your trailer implied diddling. I watched, there was no diddling.
Right.
So next time you have a trailer about a diddling doc and I watch it and there's no diddling, I'm going to be furious. I'm not going to bother watching it.
Let's call the whole thing quits.
Exactly. So that's why it's a tough moral quandary.
Yeah.
But it does change your view. It's quite a, I don't know, like it ruins a certain amount of innocence because it is showing what's happening behind all these shows that was probably the most innocent time in your life watching these Nickelodeon shows,
Yeah.
And so realizing that there was probably diddling behind the scene, that is quite
it's
traumatic.
Bleak.
Yeah, it's bleak.
Well, I don't know, because there's just so much behind child acting anyway.
Yeah.
There's also at the same time Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle, Frankie Muniz.
Did he get diddled?
No, he didn't get diddled, but he's going on, he's on Australian Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You can't find out much of that. Married at First Sight. Australian I'm a Celebrity.
Okay.
He's on there and he's doing all his child story shows.
About good or bad?
Medium.
Yeah.
It's not as
no one's got good.
It's not Diddler, is it? But it's not terrible.
But I would recommend watching it. No, you're not gonna do it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not interested enough.
But Dan Schneider, do you know that name? Like his name was.
You see it in like a silly
Schneider's
font.
Bakery was like the
what, like a splat and then Schneider.
Yeah.
I do, but I'm like, I'm not interested enough in the people that he diddled.
Yeah.
To like go he doesn't.
And Amanda Bynes, who...
But Amanda Bynes has gone off the...
She's gone off TikTok. I want to read
a long news
article. You want a Guardian long read.
I want a Guardian, and I want everything to be out, and I want justice to be served. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not interested enough about the four-long-hour narrative. It was like, tell me what he did.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting, because a lot of the time it's recreating things that they don't have videos for, right? So it'll be like a writer's room.
It's a bit bleak, isn't it?
But it's not. This is not the diddling. This is one of the female writers saying that she suggested an idea, and he said it'd be funny if you told me that idea again, but you have to act being sodomized during it. And she said it was really humiliating, which does sound humiliating, right?
But why would he? That's obviously. But why would he say that? Because he's just a devil. He's just a devil.
Yeah, he's
man.
Like a, yeah, he's just bad man. Well, that's how it's presented. They didn't give a reason why.
Was it a bad idea or a good idea?
Well, I think it was more. Showing the work culture that women weren't taken seriously.
Right.
So that is a female writer.
So the idea was kind of irrelevant. It was just
it was more like,
a woman.
Well, if you're going to have an idea...
The idea didn't have anything to do with sodomy, right?
No.
Good.
He just... Well, I mean, but one thing I do say, like, we've been in... You know, we write a lot. We have... there's no bad ideas in brainstorming. And sometimes, maybe you want to, see if something would be funnier that way. Maybe it would be funny.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I forgot what the idea was.
If the thing was about sodomizing.
Well, it was writing for a kid's show.
Yeah.
So, you know, not with Dan Schneider.
Well, no, because you'd lightly imply it. You'd zoom in, you'd go to a close-up on the face and it would go... That's how you do it.
But when they're talking about these writing room kind of traumatic scenes, obviously they're taking a lot from true crime, where it would be like, they'll show like crime footage of going up the stairs, blood splatters on the fridge and stuff. But because it is just a writer's room, they're just having really slow pans in on like a chair.
Yeah.
And like and then like a table.
And then like with some paper on there.
Yeah. And then, but then because the story is like, that happens for like 8 minutes. It's like, I guess what do you show? But it's like, because it's not really, it's hard to show that it's, but you're presenting it like he's a serial killer. He's like he's in a writer's room.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound good.
I'm not a Dan Schneider truther. I want to get that out,
Know anything about it,
but
sometimes these things seem a bit silly in how they're presented,
particularly
because how non-silly the content is.
Well
tell me when you get to Drake Bell. That's the only interesting bit.
Well, do you know about P. Diddy the Diddler? Have you been following this?
I've just got back from a cabin. I've really tried
to
avoid...
Well, he's been real diddling, but I don't actually know enough about him, sadly.
Well, I heard he was a... I don't know. Was, I've been off the news.
He seemed to be an absolutely crazy diddler, right?
It's unfortunate.
But since entered the new... Yeah, it seems like he was... Yeah, he was diddling everyone left, right, and center.
Yeah. Was that the thing that's come out about him?
Yeah. And like men, women, you name it. It didn't
matter. Andrew Huberman?
Don't know. I've heard that name, but I don't know.
You'd know him. He's like very big in the podcast world. He's like that neuroscientist with a massive head who studies brains.
Is he diddling?
Made that take though. No, but he's had like five affairs or like five different wives on the go.
Yeah.
And he's one of those self-helpy podcasts.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And he's out, boning. If you pardon my French.
Yeah. And I guess if you're a neuroscientist giving advice about how to run your brain...
Then you should be out boinking different ladies.
Yep.
That's what I've always said.
Which, yes, we need to tell people to join the Patreon, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we've got a lot of new people coming in from YouTube Shorts who we're trying to transfer onto YouTube Trousers. that's a big analytics we want to try and see. Like shorts for trousers. It's like... We've got a lot on shorts.
Shorts is a holiday. Trousers is your job.
We need to get people onto trousers, you know.
Do, yeah.
But if you want even more trouser content, then you got to come on the Patreon.
On the Patreon.
Every week, we do another bonus episode. Also, I'm recording my special May 2nd. If you are about, please come along. It'll be fun. Early show 8 p.m. Late show 10 p.m. at the George Tavern in Whitechapel. You got any closing thoughts? Any closing statements?
See ya. Bye. Patreon, join it. See you there. Bye.